For those of you who don't know me, my name is Matt, and it says on here, normal welcome. So I'm going to give you a normal welcome. Welcome to Project Church. We're so glad that you're here today. Hey, we've been going through a series all summer long called Building. And this series has been really, really good foundational information into our Christian walk. And I think a lot of times when we go back to that foundational stuff, it's like, yeah, I know. And sometimes we just forget about it. But it's so good sometimes to go back to the basics, isn't it? It's good to go back to those basics and learn about those things because we get so caught up in everything else that we forget about those basics. And so all summer long, we've been going through this building series. If you've missed any of the messages up to this point and you would like to get caught up, all of these can be listened to on theproject.church. Click on messages and it'll take you to a page where you can go through and listen to all of those building messages. We are in week number 3 of our structure series. And so what we've done throughout this series is we've brought a wrecking ball in and we destroyed everything that we knew, right? And then we started building back with a firm foundation. And now we are to the structure phase of this. And so if you would go ahead and just throw up that three-legged stool for me. So this is kind of what we've been basing this series off of is the life in the kingdom, right? The life in the kingdom of God. What does it look like to live and breathe and walk in the kingdom of God? And so in order to do that, we have to have all three of these things, right? We have to have knowledge. We have to have relationship. We have to have experience. And so far during this message series, we've talked about knowledge. We've talked about experiencing God. And today, we're going to be talking all about relationship. But what happens when one of those legs isn't quite the same height as everything else? Have you ever sat on a stool and all the legs weren't the same height? Is that fun? What happens, Steve? You fall over. Yes, I can't tell you how many stools I have fallen out of because they were uneven. It's embarrassing. I shouldn't tell you. But yeah, if you don't have all of these things in your life, you may have knowledge of God, right? I can have all the knowledge of God in the world that I want to have, and I can be so into reading the Word of God and but not have experience in relationship with God, and guess what? I'm gonna fall, right? I'm gonna fall time and time again. I'm gonna fall because I don't have an experience with God, right? I don't have that personal encounter with Him. What happens when I don't have, well, maybe I have relationship and experience, right? So like I talk to God, we have a good relationship, but I don't have knowledge to fall back on. What happens then? Well, at the first sign of trouble, when someone comes against you and they're like, oh, you believe this. Well, I believe this. Why do you believe that? And they're like, because my mama told me that that's what I should believe, right? So we have to have all three things. And today we're going to talk a little bit about relationship. And when we say the word relationship, you can see Carrie snuck this in. It's very sneaky. She snuck in the word God, the Spirit, and Jesus, the Trinity, right? And so as we talk about all of these things, we talk about the Trinity. When we talk about relationship, we would be remiss if we didn't talk about Jesus. Why? Because He taught us how to have great relationships, didn't He? He taught us how to have fantastic relationships with people. And He was this perfect example that God provided to us. And we can look to the scripture and we can look to Jesus' life and we can compare our lives with His life. And we can begin to say, God, I want to be more like You. I want to look more like You. I want to act more like You. And God's like, it's right here written down for you. All you got to do is follow after Him, right? You want to look more like God? Okay, follow after my Son. My Son did everything exactly the way I wanted Him to do it, including those relationships that He had, both with God and with man, right? And that's important. In Matthew 22:36-40, it says, Teacher, which is the most important commandment in the law of Moses? Jesus replied, You must love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all of your soul, and all of your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. So the first and greatest commandment is love God with all your heart, soul, your mind. And then there's a second one that's equally as important, which is to love your neighbor as yourself. The entire law and all of the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments. So the crux of what we need to know about relationships is found here in this very simple, straightforward scripture, right? It's easy, right? Huh? Yes, correct answer. That is the correct answer. You know, loving God, at times it can be difficult, but all in all, I would say that's somewhat easy. But loving others, loving my neighbor, but God, what about when it's 2 a.m. and his dog is barking and it wakes me up and it barks until 5 a.m. and I don't get any sleep? Do I still have to love my neighbor? What about when they park a giant RV in the backyard and they have people staying in them and they see into my backyard and it's really weird and awkward when I go out into my backyard because I'm waving at them in the RV and they're looking down on me? Do I have to love them then? What happens when their lawn is 6 foot tall and the city won't do anything about it and it looks trashy and I really want them to mow their lawn, but my lawn's pristine. I mow it all the time. Do I have to love them then? It's hard, isn't it? When the tree falls down and it takes out my fence and their insurance won't pay for it, do I have to love them then? Does anyone else want to give a personal example? Because Mike and I sure have. It's hard. Relationships are hard. They are. It's easy when your neighbors are great, right? It's easy when your neighbors bring you like fresh muffins from the oven, right? That's fantastic. It's nice when you have neighbors that bring your kids candy, right? Like these are great neighbors that we have, right? We have some very, very good neighbors. And these are all real experiences that Carrie and I have had, right? I'm not giving you anything fake this morning, right? Relationships can be hard. But Jesus told us a lot of stories in Scripture. And these stories always had a point, but Jesus sometimes liked to beat around the bush to make you think a little bit. And so when he does that, these are called parables, okay? And so he tells a lot of parables in Scripture. And his teachings usually ended in some sort of riddle that you were intended to figure out, right? And so a lot of times when you start to read these parables, you have to chew on it just a little bit. And sometimes, like, I'm going to get something out of a parable that you're not, and you're going to get something out of a parable that I don't, right? And so then we can kind of compare and contrast what we got out of the parable. But I'm going to read you one this morning and tell you what I personally got out of this parable, okay? So this scripture is in John 10. I'm going to read pretty much the whole thing here. So bear with me. It's important. It says, I tell you the truth, anyone who sneaks over the wall of a sheepfold rather than going through the gate must surely be a thief and a robber. But the one who enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep recognize his voice and come to him. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. After he has gathered his own flock, he walks ahead of them, and they follow him because they know his voice. They won't follow a stranger. They will run because they know that it's not his voice. Those who heard Jesus use this illustration didn't understand what he meant. Of course, they didn't understand. So he had to explain it to them. He says, I tell you the truth. I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me were thieves and robbers, but the true sheep did not listen to them. Yes, I am the gate. Those who come in through me will be saved. They will come and they will go freely and they will find good pastures. The thief's purpose is to kill, steal, and destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd sacrifices his life for the sheep. A hired hand will run when he sees a wolf coming. He will abandon the sheep because they don't belong to him and he is not their shepherd. And so the wolf attacks them and scatters the flock. The hired hand runs away because he is only working for the money and doesn't really care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own sheep and they know me as my Father knows me and I know my Father. So I sacrifice my life for the sheep. I have other sheep too that are not in this sheepfold, I must bring them also. They will listen to my voice, and there will be one flock with one shepherd. The Father loves me because I sacrifice my life so that I may take it back again. No one can take my life from me. I sacrifice it voluntarily, for I have the authority to lay it down, and I also want to take it up again, for this is what the Father has commanded. So to put this into kind of context for you, right? Farming analogies and farming parables are really popular back in this day. Why? Because you couldn't just go down to the supermarket and get what you needed, right? You couldn't just go down and get a thing of meat. You couldn't just go down and get a t-shirt. If you wanted to have these things, you had to know how to farm, or you were closely related with somebody who knew how to farm, and they maybe provided you with the food and you provided them with something else, right? It's this barter system. So back then, these farming analogies would have been really popular because a lot of people would have really understood farming. It would have been a common practice among people. And so in this story, we see that there is a shepherd who is guarding his flock, right? And there's a shepherd, and the sheep know the master's voice. They know that the shepherd is there to protect him from harm, but when the shepherd would round him up, then the shepherd would actually inspect each sheep before he would let them in. So I've got a picture here for you. So as these sheep are coming in, so he would take them out, they would let them graze freely, right? So they have the freedom to graze and do whatever they want in the pastures and go out and eat and participate in whatever they wanted to participate in and get a drink from the stream. But when it was time to be put up for the night and the shepherd would call them, they would come to the gate, and the shepherd would have his hook, and he would put it in front of the gate. He would inspect every single sheep when they would come in. He'd be like, "Oh, you got some briars right here. Let me get those for you. Oh, you got a cut on your leg. Let me wrap that for you. Okay, well, you got attacked by a wolf. Oh, no, like we need to fix you up," right? And so he's inspecting every single one of these, so he knows exactly what their problems are, right? He knows exactly, oh, you're limping a little bit. Maybe you need to stay in tomorrow, right? He knows exactly what his sheep, when they're coming in, he knows exactly what their problems are. He knows exactly what they need. And so once they were all carefully accounted for inside the fence here, once they're all accounted for, then what the shepherd would do is he would actually lay down in the gate so that no animals could come in without him knowing about who was coming in to the fold, right? Like, he wanted to know exactly who was coming in. So the shepherd lays down to protect the sheep from danger. And see, this is just what Christ does for us, isn't it? Every day we go out and we venture out and we do our own thing, right? We do our own thing. We go out into the world and we eat and we graze and we go down to the stream and maybe we get in trouble, we get into some briars, whatever it is. But when we come back home and we begin to talk to God and we begin to pray and we begin to read our scriptures and we begin to do these things, he's inspecting our hearts, he's inspecting our minds, he's inspecting us and saying, okay, what is it? What are these things, are these impurities, these things that we need to deal with? What are these things on a daily basis? Like, let's check these things out. Let's get these things right. And so we come into this safe place, right? We go into this safe place with God, and we go into this safe place with prayer and worship, and we go into this place where we can feel secure and we feel warm and we feel good. And Christ invites us into that. And then once we're there, he stands at the gate. And he won't leave that gate. He's not going to leave his sheep, right? He's not going to let the wolves come in. Now, a thief might try to come in over the top and try to storm it, right, and take it for himself. But he's standing there. He knows his sheep. He knows his pasture, right? In verses 4 and 5, it says, "The sheep know his voice, know the voice of the shepherd." You see, if we're in a relationship with God, if you and I are in a true relationship with God, we know God's voice. We can sense it. We can feel it, right? when God begins to speak to you, you know, you can sense it, you can feel it, you know that that's God. Now, there are voices, there are people out here who want to steal and kill and destroy you, right? So how do we differentiate between those voices? Well, we know the voice of the true shepherd. We know it. And it's a little thing called discernment. The Holy Spirit will let you know what that voice sounds like. And if we use a little common sense, we know that the other voices, we know that they're trying to lead us to a path of destruction, right? And so if we hear a voice saying, hey, come over here, and there's like a briar patch in our way, what should we do? We should run from it, right? And so many times, we willingly walk into a briar patch. Why? I don't know, it sounded fun, right? Like I couldn't help myself. I hear these excuses all the time, but God's on the back end. He's like, hey, no, stay out of the briars, right? Your fur is too valuable, right? Your coat's too valuable. Stay out of the briars. And too many times, instead of running from the danger, we dive headfirst into it. Why? I don't know. We're humans, right? And I'm not saying you, I'm saying we, right? I jump into the briar sometimes too. And it's difficult. In verses 14 and 15, it says they know each other. And we talked about this in week one, the difference between knowing who God is versus knowing God, right? Like I can have all of the knowledge of scripture that I want to, but you know who else has all of that knowledge? Satan has all of that knowledge, right? He knows the scriptures front to back. He can use them. He can manipulate them just like you and I can use them and manipulate them too, right? Couldn't get that word out. But it's our responsibility to know God, to really, truly know who he is. That point to where we have a relationship with one another. In week one, I used an example of knowing. I know Michael Jordan, right? I know him because I've watched Space Jam, right? So I know Michael Jordan because I watched Space Jam. Versus I know my wife, Carrie, right? Like I know her. I spend time with her. Like I know her likes. I know her dislikes. I know what sets her off. I know what makes her angry. I know that I shouldn't use too much spices in my food when I cook. Like there's a bunch of stuff that I know about Carrie. But I really know her, and that's the way we should be with God. Like, I shouldn't just be able to say, well, I watched The Passion of the Christ, so I know God. You know what I mean? Like, we need to have that one-on-one personal relationship with him where we're meeting with him on a daily basis. Why? Because he's meeting us at the gate, right? And he's inspecting us, and he's like, how's your heart? How's your mind? How's your soul? Like, is there peace? Is there comfort? Is there joy? Is there patience? Is there kindness? Is there goodness? He's inspecting those fruits, and he's protecting us in a safe place. So we have to be willing to surrender ourselves to God's plan and God's purpose. We have to know God. We have to know him. And as we grow in our relationship with God, we also tend to grow in our relationship with others as well. Because as we're growing in our relationship with God, he gives us those fruits to be able to go out into the world and experience relationship with others in a positive way. Thank you. You're awesome. In relationship with others, we learn about God's heart for unity, grace, humility, and love in new and powerful ways. In fellowship, we encounter people with various giftings, perspectives, and past experiences that are different than our own. That's important, right? In fellowship, we encounter people with giftings, perspectives, and past experiences that are different than our own. That's so important for us to be able to hear people's pasts, to be able to hear their stories, and then to encourage one another when our stories are similar, right? When we've experienced similar hardships, when we've experienced similar pains, and then God's maybe brought us out of it, but maybe you're still in the middle of it. Like, hey, guess what? God isn't going to let me encourage you because He brought me through that too, right? And in community, we discover God's heart to use others for building up, for healing, and for sharpening ourselves. And so these three areas are really important, not just in our relationship with God, but in our relationship with one another, right? Because in relationship, we learn about God's heart for unity, grace, and humility. In relationship with others, we learn about their personalities. We learn about the way that they love. We learn about the ways that make them tick, right? Which then leads us to a relationship with them in powerful ways. In fellowship, we can use those giftings with one another, right? We can talk about our past experiences together. And in community, we can discover God's heart in building up the kingdom together. We cannot truly love God without loving others, and we can honestly not love others without loving God, right? We cannot truly love God without loving others, and we can honestly love others without loving God. So if Christ is the perfect example of how to have a relationship, and Christ is the gate that's protecting us for the pen and for the sheep, what does that mean for us, right? So think about this for a minute. If we are to mirror Christ, if we are to be an image bearer of Christ and for God, and we're supposed to be a representation of who he is on this earth, and Christ is a gate for the pen for the sheep, what does that mean for us? What does it mean? Anyone? Tell you what it means. John 15:13. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friend. Think about the parable that I just told you. What does the shepherd do at night in the gate? He lays down. He's literally laying down, but he's also figuratively laying down his life to protect his sheep. What does the scripture tell us to do? Lay down our lives for a friend, right? So what should our relationship with our neighbor look like? Lay down your life. Protect them. Sacrifice for them. You see, are we willing to stand at the gate with our staff and allow our friends to come into a safe space of relationship with us and inspect every single one of them as they come in and say, how was your day? Did you have a good day today? Did you have trouble today? How was your anxiety level today, right? How was work? Did your boss get on to you again like they did last time, right? Are we willing to stand at that gate and begin to inspect and to begin to talk to our friends the way that Christ inspects us? How's your heart today? How's your mind today? How's your soul today? Are we willing to take that level of time to sacrifice for relationships with others? Are we really, really willing to lay down our lives for our friends? Or are we going to be more like the hired farmhands who runs off at the first sign of danger, right? What did that parable say about the farmhand? The first time he saw trouble, what did he do? He fled. Why? They're not his sheep, right? Think about your friends. Think about your friends. At the first sign of trouble, what happens? Do you run or do you stick around? Because if you run, you're not really a friend. You're a farmhand, right? You're a farmhand. Are we willing to lay down in front of the gate to protect those that we love? I think too many times our relationships do look more like the farmhand And at the first sign of trouble, we flee, we run away from that relationship, we move on to the next relationship, because you know what? There's a million people in this world, and by golly, I'm going to find a friend that doesn't have any problems so that I don't have to deal with it anymore, right? That's the easy thing to do. I mean, come on, really, like, how many people are out there that have problems, right? Surely I can find one with no problems. No sticky stuff, no messy stuff, no weird stuff. Like, surely there's somebody out there that's as normal as I am, right? Sorry, that was an inside joke. If you know me, then you should have laughed. Normal. So what does that look like? It means that when we have friendships, when we have fellowship with one another, when we're with people in this room, when we're engaging with one another, we should be in close relationship. We should be willing to be the people that stand at the gate and open the gate and allow people into a safe space, because we should be in a place where, you know, we're in a relationship with God, so we're in a safe space, right? And so we're allowing others to come into our safe space, which becomes God's safe space, because we're the ones that are supposed to be the image bearers for God. And so if we're image bearers for God, our space is safe space because they can come into our space and we're the image of Christ. So we're sharing that relationship with others. We're sharing his love with others. We're sharing his goodness with others. We're pouring out blessings on them. We're praying for them. That's what it looks like to have these relationships with one another. And yet time and time again, people will come up and be like, hey, man, I'm struggling today, man. My arm has been hurting. I don't know what it is. And we're like, yeah, I'll be praying for you, bro. See you later. Have a good day, right? It's whatever. Take a moment. Pray for them. You don't have to be some qualified person, pastoral, whatever, usher of the week kind of person to be able to pray for somebody. No, take a minute and say, hey, can I pray for you right now? Like right in this moment, right? There was a few weeks ago, it was an interview and someone said something and I was like, can I pray for you? I know this isn't very professional, but like, can I pray for you? And they're like, yeah, I guess so. That's weird, but okay. Right? But this is what it looks like to be in the kingdom of God, is being able to pursue those relationships with others, not because other believers are perfect, but because you are, as an imperfect child of God, need help from an imperfect children to encounter his fullness and his abundance that God has intended for you. You want to know what God's plans are for your life? To be his image bearer. To be like him. That's it. That's it. That's his plan. That's his plan. It's a secret that nobody knows, right? You're like, well, what does he want me to do? I don't know. He may want you to work at Walmart. He may want you to work at Tyson. He may want you to work for the city. He may want you to be a school teacher. He may want you to be the president of the United States. I don't know. Yeah, Aubrey's like, yeah, that's me. Totally. I'm going to be the president. I'm going to start making you posters now. Vote for Aubrey. Love it. At this time, I'm going to ask the band to come up. We're gonna go into just a time of reflection, prayer, and then we're also going to take communion with one another. But kind of as we prepare for this, Carrie is going to read a scripture for you. And as she reads this scripture for you, I want you to take just a moment. I want you to begin to think about the relationships that you have in your life. Number one, are you making room for God? Are you making time for him, not just to read, not just to pray, but to soak in his goodness, to allow him to begin to transform you from the inside out? Are you taking time for God? Are you making room for him? But then also on the other end of that, are you making room for those relationships that are important to you in your life? Are you making room to sacrifice for your friends, right? How much expectation do you have on your friends? Are you checking on them, or are they having to call you every single day, right? What does that look like in your life? Begin to think about those relationships. Begin to think about the sacrifices that you do and you don't make. Begin to think about the things that you will and you won't do for your friends, and give that up to God and say, God, inspect this. Check my heart. Check my spirit. God, if any of this needs to be corrected, God, begin to correct it now. Begin to fill me with your spirit and allow the discernment to change me from the inside out. So So Carrie's going to read us a scripture, and we're going to do a song on communion.
Romans 12, starting with verse 9, love in action. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, "It is mine to avenge. I will repay," says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. And in doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good.